Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 163 of Past Chaos. When I was editing our episode last week and I said, welcome to the episode, I sound like I was on death row. It was so morbid.
And dun, dun.
Yeah, like, welcome back. Like, we were just not.
Miserable.
Yeah.
It ended up being a good episode. I didn't listen to all of it.
Good.
I mean, try to listen to them at work sometimes.
I always think they're good. I can laugh so hard when I'm editing. Just listening to the things that we
April
say.
Laughs at us.
I do. I think we're pretty damn funny. I mean, maybe people don't, but.
I mean, yeah, we can be.
There are times. It's almost Friday, so we've survived another week.
Barely. I'm hanging by a thread
one
this week.
More. I don't know. I think I've had a good week.
Good. At least somebody should.
I guess. Do you do drunk shopping?
Yes.
Not often,
because I'm not really a shopper, but every once in a blue moon, I'll get a little Amazon crazy, or I'll be on TikTok and I'll see an ad for something. This happened recently, actually. And I think
I
think I was a little tipsy. I was a little drunk. And I don't remember why I was drunk that night other than.
I don't either. But I remember you telling me the story.
Because I realized I had a package show up and it was these like nipple covers.
They're like silicone.
I was like, when did I order these? Oh, I ordered them when I was drunk on TikTok. It was a TikTok ad.
I shop enough when I'm not drunk, so I can't imagine me going crazy when I'm drunk. But I hear that a lot about people getting a little tipsy and then ordering a bunch of stuff and not remembering, and then stuff just shows up.
I do that sober.
Like, yeah, that's me sober.
Because I don't shop often. So when I do, I forget that I've done it.
When I'm drunk, I just want to either dance, do something else, or go to sleep.
Yeah.
Those are the only three things I want to do.
Go to sleep is a great option when you're drunk.
Yeah. Where was I the other day? Oh, so I was taking Tanner to practice and he and his friend, I drop him off and I usually go just walk around. Like if I have to go to the grocery store, I'll stop at the grocery store or I'll go to TJ Maxx and just walk around. But I was thinking as I'm going to my car the other night, I just became really aware of what was around me. And it made me think like, are you aware of your surroundings?
Ooh, not always. No, I try to be. But I'm also very, like, sometimes I'm just not situationally aware. Like, I'm an oblivious person, honestly. It's not good.
No.
I'm only situationally aware if my paranoia is, like, at its heightened state, which doesn't happen as often anymore, but it every now and then. And then I'll be, like, super observant of absolutely everything. But if I'm just, like, frivolously shopping or grocery shopping or going to Ulta, yeah, no, I'm definitely not situationally aware. You could, like, probably be following me for 10 miles and I wouldn't notice.
I get busy. So when I'm busy and I have a lot of errands to run, I don't think about it. But if I'm taking it slow, then I realize every single thing around me. Like, going to my car, I will lock it if I return the cart back. And I'm usually strange.
I'm usually somehow always on my phone. Or on a call with somebody when I'm doing things like that, like running errands, I'm usually doing 15 other things at the same time. So I think that's where I lose my focus. I'm paying attention to what I should be paying attention to.
I feel safe because I know you have my locations and you'll always know where I'm at. And I usually tell people, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I may not tell them every single place I'm going, but at least I tell them these are my plans for the day. But I think as women, we probably, especially with the way the world is, we need to be aware.
So several people, it's funny you say that because several people, not just my close friends, but my sisters included, my girlfriend included, have my location on their phones. Like I give out my location because I do think it's important that people know where you are.
I do too.
I feel safer knowing that like somebody knows where I am. One of like six or seven people that I know have my location inevitably would be able to track me if they needed to.
I remember when you go on dates a while back
And I'm not a track, like I won't track my friends just for the heck of it.
Oh, I do, Heather.
Sometimes we do. I was about to say, sometimes we do, Heather, just to be like, what's she doing? I would go and look at your location just to see. And when you first started dating Jess, she lives in the boonies. Mm-hmm. And I remember just seeing your location in a wooded area. And I'm like, oh God, she's in the woods dead. Yeah. Who do I call? I don't know. I don't even know what to do. But then I realized, okay, she just lives in a very desolate area.
Yes.
That there's nothing around.
There have been times where I've been on dates or things, you know, even second dates or third dates, and you still think you know the person. But I even have my, like, I'll wear my Apple Watch. If it's the first couple of dates and I have an Apple Watch on, it's because my Apple Watch is tracking me. My phone is tracking me. Like, I am tracked. Please know, if you could put a microchip in me, I'd probably be okay with it.
Oh, I would too. I know that is very controversial, but microchip me, baby.
But I feel like I am very independent. I'm alone a lot of the times. And it gives me peace of mind to know that at least somebody will find me. My boss actually came into my office a week or so ago. And we're setting up additional camera systems. And he was like, where do you want these extra cameras? And I said, I want one in my office. Because I work in an office that is very desolate. I'm kind of on the outskirts of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And I already know that JPD takes forever to get to my site.
Yes, we've timed them.
Yes. And I only have one way in and one way out of my building. I have one door. And so if something were to happen to me at my office, I would want somebody to know. I would want somebody to know what happened. It would make me feel better being watched.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You always get mad at me because I don't turn the cameras on in our house.
Oh, it makes me so pissed.
And I do need to really be aware of that and just do it every time we leave or even when we're at home, just so we know what's going on. I have this, it's a fine line of invasion of privacy and safety reasons.
I mean, you're not watching me sleep or
that's
shower.
That's creepy.
Well. Yeah, so I feel like all the other cameras are fine. My girlfriend is over the top.
Oh, dear God.
Cameras.
She's very yes. over the
top. So I think she said, and I could be completely off with this, but I want to say it's 18 on the interior of her home.
Okay. Well, where's the intervention?
Right? And she would keep adding if she could.
I thought she told me, and maybe the 18 is with her additions, but I thought last time she was here, she said that she had ordered, I don't remember how many more, but I knew she said she ordered more.
Yes, she has ordered more.
And she watches them too. Because I watch her, because she's like my mom.
Constantly.
That's why I paid attention.
Right. Your mom has cameras.
Oh my God,
and
yes.
baby monitors.
Yes. You know what that reminds me of? Growing up, we had scanners. Do you know what that is? So it's police scanners. And people had them in their homes. And you could hear every time there was an accident. I'm not kidding. I would go to my granny's house and spend the night with her and my mamaw. And we would watch Hee Haw. And then silence. Because the scanner was on. And if there was an accident, because you hear the cops
everything.
And the EMTs and everybody, the fire department. They're all on this channel. And they talk. And they talk in code, whatever the fire and police codes mm-hmm. are, which I don't know. But you learn some of them, which I haven't remembered any of them from childhood. But I think that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe it's like a trauma, PTSD. I don't want to hear
I don't
people.
Like to be watched by strangers. But if I know they're people I trust, I feel safer being watched.
Oh, that makes. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just a safety thing for me.
Yeah. I know Jack was in our neighborhood. There's a lot of construction. Mm-hmm. New homes are going up. And I don't want to put a lot of fear into the kids, but I also want them to know that, you know, the world just sucks sometimes and there are bad people. So be very careful. And he's getting to that age, you know, where he wants his independence and he wants to run off. And so he came home and I was like, where were you? And he told me and I'm like, we've told you can't go that far. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I know, but I had my phone. Okay, I think they mistake that phone for this security blanket.
Right, it's not. It's more like in case something
yeah.
happens, at least I know where your last location was.
I said, buddy, everybody knows that phones can be tracked. So what do you think the first thing a kidnapper's going to do? They're going to toss your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So your phone's going to be laying there, but you're not going to be with it. So we can go search for that, but you're gone.
It's funny because, yeah, I have two trackers on Jackson's phone, but I will tell you, I never track him, but he tracks me all the time. Constantly tracks me.
That makes sense.
Which is also kind of hilarious.
He's kind of a stalker.
That's fine.
But
at least
know,
I've got one.
Yeah, that's what I say. Hey, it's the stalker I've always wanted. I had this feeling come over me this week. I thought you would appreciate this. It's like this little voice inside me. Because, you know, for the last year, I have really worked very, very hard on just fixing myself. And I've not done a great job, but I've done an okay job. And I feel like this week, just something clicked and told me, get ready. Because you're back. Everything's going to be okay. And there are also days where I'm like, everything sucks and it's not going to be okay. But I think for the first time in a long time, I'm not the old me, but I'm going to be a better me.
Yeah.
And I love that.
You're definitely in a new season. And, you know, we've got a full moon right now. So we're going to prepare for the new moon, the new year. Taurus is one of the signs that is supposed to have a really good year. And I think you just have to embrace it's not going to look like it did, but it's going to look much better.
And I'm completely okay with that. I don't look like I did, so I'm fine.
Neither do I.
I was telling somebody that today. They're like, okay, we need to do this and we need you to look this way. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be really hard because I have no tan and I'm probably 10 pounds heavier than I was during that time.
Yeah. I look like a completely different person.
I think I look different. It just depends on the day.
Oh, I think I forgot to say that I got lips.
Oh my God, you did.
We totally forgot to say that. Yeah,
I got lips. My favorite thing.
I know. It's my favorite thing. I kind of want them bigger now.
Okay. Lauren is hooked on the lips. So she went back and forth. I think we talked about maybe you were going to get them or you were thinking about it. There were a lot of people that were against it. And I'm like, okay, I'm a little offended because I have lips. I love my lips. If people don't like them, that's fine that they don't. But I really do. And if you want them, it's your body. You should be able to do what you want.
I love them. I think they're subtle. They're just exactly what I wanted. And funny enough, my sister got hers done the day after. And my mom noticed both of our lips at Thanksgiving.
I meant to ask you that. It was the whole reason I brought it up.
She didn't say it directly to our faces. She said it to my other sister. She whispered and goes, is there something about your sister's lips? Did they get them done? In my head, that's how my mom said it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I walked over to her and I was like, so I guess you noticed our lips. She goes, why did you girls do that? You know, being a mom, she thinks that we're perfect. But I am very happy with them. The girl that did my lips, she does my Botox. I would literally let her do anything with my cosmetics because she did a phenomenal job. It's exactly what I wanted. Very subtle. And she was even like, you know, I can put more in there. And I was like, maybe.
So I went with Lauren when she got her lips. And
it hurts like a bitch.
It does. I told you, lips hurt.
That was not fun.
No, they hurt, but they're so worth it. You've done it before. You did it.
Yes. What, right? Beginning of COVID.
Yeah, beginning of COVID. It wore off pretty quickly.
Really quickly. And I only got a half of a syringe. Right. So
you didn't get
much.
You didn't go big or go home. But this time, so I'm in there and she's really nervous, like super, super nervous about getting her lips done. They immediately just look amazing.
They do.
And I've looked at pictures of you today from before, and you can totally tell. Mm-hmm. And I love
you
it.
Can. You like, can. The whole point of getting them this time was so that people would, like, I wanted people to tell.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it so subtle that nobody knows.
And so, you know, I took my lips out, the top lip anyway, and now the bottom lip is deflated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also looking at pictures from me from back when we did the first season of You, Me, and My Ex. My lips were juicy.
They were juicy. They were big.
Real, real big.
And but I think that's what people that didn't want me to get my lips done, I think that was what they thought. But like what people didn't like fail to realize is, April, you've had your lips injected a lot.
Yes.
It takes a lot. My sister got a full syringe and it barely created a lip for her.
Right.
Like she was working with nothing.
But I had lips prior.
Yes. See, and like I really didn't have a top lip. My sister had no lip. So what we got was so subtle, it wouldn't have made our lips blow up. We would have to keep going back on a super regular basis for them to get large, which I don't want huge lips. I just want like a cute little pout.
Oh, honey, I love my soup coolers and I'm getting them bigger. I don't care. I let people dissect me and decide on my behalf what I should look like. Mm. And I'm not doing that. If I want my big juicy lips, I'm going to have my big juicy lips.
You do what makes you feel good.
That's right. And those suckers make me feel real good. Are you a crazy ex?
Probably to some. Yeah. I mean, aren't we all?
You answered that really quick.
I mean, aren't we all?
Funny. We asked John this question, a couple months ago, I think.
Recently. Not even that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. It was probably more recent than that. Do you remember exactly what you said? Who was crazier of your ex-wives?
Yes.
Okay. He would not answer.
No.
He declined.
Pled the fifth.
Yeah. Which was so boring. Well, then Roy comes like a few days later.
Roy will definitely answer the question.
But I was so offended. What? I don't know. I was offended and kind of like, oh, okay. Because he said it was me.
It is you.
Why is it me?
You just are.
But how? Like, I mean, in what way? I feel like
that's a title you almost want. Like, you've...
That's why I said I almost felt good about it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Well, first of all, I think that your two ex-husbands would have very differing answers on your level of crazy. Because, like, the crazy ex that Jerry got, I'm sure, is much different than the crazy ex that that Roy got, right? Yeah. Like, you were very different. Hearing stories about the crazy ex stories of you and Jerry... I mean, that's like slash your tires, you know, type of crazy.
Yeah.
Versus like the older you get, your level of crazy is more just, and I can relate to this because this is my level of crazy. You know, you just kind of make them pay, you know?
Yeah.
You're just petty and you're vindictive and you're manipulative and you're all the things that like, because you're a scorned woman, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And the older you get, you learn how to play the games really well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would probably have a handful of exes that would be like, no, she's not a crazy ex, because I really didn't do anything crazy after any of my breakups. But my ex-husbands would probably say I was a crazy ex for sure. Mm-hmm. I was definitely a very different level of crazy when I divorced Ryan.
Why do you think people go crazy? I have my reasoning or my thoughts behind it, but why do they lose it after a breakup or a divorce?
I think it depends on the circumstances around the divorce. I'm going to say this. I think that some of the crazy can be because you genuinely love that person and you don't know how to hold back your emotions. And maybe you're really young too, and everything has a reaction. You react to everything when you're young. You just do. You don't think about consequences. You don't think about anything. You just do it in the whim of the moment. But then there's those times where you're deemed the crazy person because someone has pushed you to that level. And that's, in my opinion, not crazy. They're wanting you to get to that level so that they can call you and justify their actions for saying, I have a crazy ex or I have a crazy wife.
They just forget to tell what they did to make you that way.
Correct. Yes. They are the ones that, in fact, were the ones that pushed you to that point.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can really restrain. I would love to see a woman that has the ability to restrain from a man that is literally pushing her to her edge.
I wonder that. I'm like, are there women out there that really and truly have no reaction?
What? You know what? There are. And those are the women that don't end up on an episode of Snapped. Because just think. In comparison to those women that do end up on the episode of Snapped or a Dateline 2020 story, our reactions are very mild. Maybe that is holding back.
Okay, so maybe I'm not as crazy kill you. As I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't end up on that reality show.
Yeah.
Just another one with exes. I do think it is like a loss of a loved one. You know, I've said divorce is kind of like a death. Yes, I mean, you're losing something that you loved and you don't understand. It's humiliation. I know for Jerry in that situation, I was very humiliated. I felt abandoned. Thinking back to yours and John's, I think his reactions were a lot of ego. That's just my opinion. Mm. But I think those are reasons that people do kind of lose it. I don't know what I was reading the other day, but it was an article that said the reason why people act quote unquote crazy after a breakup. And they related it to addiction and said that our brain, like the same part of our brain that handles addiction, is the same kind of part that handles relationships. Like, you become addicted to this person and you need it and you want it and you want them. And then when they're gone, that's how your brain is functioning. Like you're an addict.
That makes sense. That makes sense. It's almost like an adrenaline rush when you have an addiction. You know, you're used to that rush of passion and love for the person. So what's the next best thing? If you can't have the passion and love, you're going to have the fire and anger. So you're still feeding that adrenaline. You're feeding that addiction.
I'm full of fire and anger.
Yeah. And like when you're young, I look back and I really miss that version of myself sometimes, because I was so fiery and that passion I had the first time my heart was broken. You know, you go crazy, you scream, you cry, you do psychotic things. I threw a beer across a lawn at my best friend's head, like, you know, when I was 20 years old, because I was so mad at my ex at the time. And you just do really crazy, irrational things, but it's all out of passion. And it's just, you get it all out. The older you get, you start holding it back and it comes out in very, lunatic ways sometimes, or ways that people can look at you and be like, I don't understand her. And then you go to an extreme and you just start to become depressed. I think it can lead to depression. I do think that a certain level of crazy is healthy.
I do too. Because really you're getting out that pent up, bottled up frustration and mm-hmm. anger. If you just sat there, you would implode.
Oh, trust me. I'm like 7 years deep on implosions.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember being married to Jerry. And of course you think, oh, this is the love of my life because high school sweethearts and we have these two kids. And why is this ending? And ending the way that it did because he just found someone else and it just crushed me to my core. Looking back, it was so dumb because we clearly weren't meant for each other and we love each other in a different way now. And we've mm-hmm. moved on and it's so far in the past, but I was a nutcase, like a nutcase.
Yeah, I was the same way with Ryan. You know, I would drive around looking for him, call, blow his phone up 85 times, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, I miss those days, though. No. I would never do that now.
No, we're too old for that.
Bye. And yeah. then never speak.
I mean, you definitely would have a reaction. Like, in a breakup, you're going to have a reaction, but it's not going to be, hopefully, not the same that it was when I was 20. Because with Roy, even, like, I was crazy in certain things, but mm-hmm. it was very... I mean, I feel like our divorce was just peaceful.
Yeah.
It was kind of anticlimactic.
Honestly, looking back, even the things that I was deemed crazy for with my divorce to John, in hindsight, were so not anywhere near crazy. Like, not even close. Like,
no, it was what normal people
did. Yeah. And in fact, I really wish I would have. I almost regret not getting out my anger and frustration more. And instead, I jumped into this like fight or flight fear of everything because I knew that if I even rolled my eyes the wrong way, it was going to be used against me or I was going to be hurt somehow. So I held so much back. And now I've had to deal with like 6 years of unresolved emotions that really have no placement anymore because it's old now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, who do I never got to have that anger release.
You need to go release it.
I
think you would be more relaxed.
There's a TikTok and it says, I wish it's like this little dance or whatever in this song. And it's like, I just wish one person would swing on me so I could release 10 years of pent up anger. And it's so true. I feel like if just one opportune moment someday, someone is just going to come at me sideways and it's just all going to come out.
I've been saying that for 20 years.
It's all going to come out.
It's only going to take one person, but they're going to get all these years mm-hmm. that this little body.
Probably a person that has nothing to do with yeah. anything either.
They're going
to
bump into me in Walmart and I'm just going to lay them out.
Yep.
You'll see me on the news.
Today's your day.
Like, sorry. You know what? You were just the wrong place at the wrong time.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. What the heck? I read an interview. What made me think of this topic? Jana Kramer, which we both listened to her podcast and kind of followed her story. She was talking about the crazy things that she did to her ex. And it just made me giggle because I don't know how old she is, but she's probably in the middle of us, right? So she's mm-hmm. in her 30s. Mm-hmm. She destroyed his Xbox and wrote all over his tuxedo, which just made me giggle because, I mean, good for you, girl. Like, you know, I guess he cheated on her. So she was doing all these things, but destroyed his Xbox. First of all, you're a grown ass man.
Well, I have, in fact, done that. So Ryan and I got into a fight. I'm going to just use him because this is when I was young and fiery and I really don't have any good ones from John at all. But he got mad at me for something and I left because that's what I always do. I run away and I came back and he had taken a baseball bat to my laptop.
Oh, my.
Side note, he still has that laptop. He saved it. So kind of like,
yeah, OK. So just a little piece of you.
But anyway, so I came back and he had smashed my laptop with a baseball bat. And so I poured water into his PlayStation. Ryan was probably the craziest of everything. I remember sending a cease and desist letter from a fake attorney to one of his ex-girlfriends one time. I made burner accounts on every forum you could back in the day, which was MySpace, you know, to try to like dig through and contact exes and like dig stuff up on him.
What's the craziest thing you've done after a breakup?
I ran into Ryan at a bar and mooed at the girl that he was with. And then I tried to swing at him mm-hmm. and a police officer grabbed me at that time. So yeah, that was probably pretty crazy. I mean, I've done lots of poor Ryan. Oh God, we'll have him on someday. Bless 'cause I'm sure he has heart. Many more stories.
I've got to talk to him. I need to hear all these. I want to know how you were during that time.
He would know where all the bodies were buried for sure. Yeah. He definitely dealt with the crazy ex, Lauren. Other than that, I probably wasn't really crazy.
We're going to talk to him.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad because I wasn't going to tell my craziest thing because I felt like people would judge me and think I was a horrible person. But after you, it's peanuts, I think. And it's probably not the craziest, but it's just something that I don't know. I felt so bad about because I don't know. Anyway, but I pretended to be the health department. This was 100 years ago. Okay. So I pretended to be the health department and I called the girl's parents that Jerry cheated with mm-hmm. and left on their voicemail, their answering machine. The results of her STD test came back positive and we need to discuss treatment options. And I've always felt so bad about doing that.
I hope she listens to this and I hope she's STD free.
Well, I don't because she doesn't deserve to be. No, but I just thought that was really mean, but it's nothing. That's nothing.
No. I mean, in hindsight, there are things I look back on and I think every woman has done them. Or had those moments. We all have.
See, women, we burn his pictures. We break shit. We tell everybody he wasn't good in bed. Men get all murderous and stalky. Like, they just they're the real crazy.
That is true. Sorry, guys. Oh, I didn't even think. Yeah. How many exes have you been stalked by?
One in particular. But one I didn't even date. And he just wanted to date me. And I turned him down and he got all stalky.
I've had three.
Oh, dear God.
I've had three that have stalked me. And I've had to have a DVPO out, a domestic violence protection order for a year.
All right. We told everybody that we were going to rewatch You, Me, and My Ex mm-hmm. season one. Mm-hmm. And we were going to discuss it. So we both did. Mm-hmm. And we weren't on the first episode. So
I watched the first episode.
I watched the first episode, but I watched the first episode that we were on. What'd you think? After all this time?
I mean, I still feel how I felt about it then. There's a lot that I forgot about. I feel like we came off as a little fake and I didn't like that.
Do you?
It didn't seem reality based. It just didn't. It seemed very staged and I don't like that. That's how I felt in the beginning though too.
See, when I was watching, there were certain times that I was like, I don't know. Maybe I felt a little bit that way. But I thought like in our interviews...
The interviews were a little bit more organic.
That's what I thought. I thought, this is really raw and natural. The scenes
seemed fake to me. They were fake.
I can see that. I can see how you say that. Because I don't know. I think for me, I'll just say that. I was nervous. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why some of my reactions came off the way that they did.
Me too. Yeah.
All of that would have happened anyway. I think it just the placement of when it happened, you know, some of the things that we did.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just off. I don't know. I think the episode started, we picked up Roy from the airport, which that was real. Our excitement every time Roy comes in was mm-hmm. really real. When we walked through the door, you and John had been sitting here for however long together. So that's always annoying.
That was
for
fun.
You. I think that you just were annoyed more.
I'm not
than
a
anything.
Fan. I was not a fan of filming. I hope that's not seen on my face.
Probably.
But it's not my thing. Reality TV, TV in general, not my thing. I was just there. I was a willing participant. And filming with your ex-husband, who you already don't really get along with, was very difficult and awkward. Mm-hmm. It just is. There's no other way to spin it. And you also don't know what to anticipate. So I don't know what direction it was going to go in. I didn't know what questions I was going to get asked, what he was getting asked. And at that point, you know, when the viewers are watching just the first scenes of us, these first scenes for us as well are like, well, we don't know what direction. Is it going to be a John and Lauren story? Is it going to be a John and April story? You don't know really what they're going to take from anything.
That was my issue. The anxiety of the unknown. Of how is this going to play out? What is he saying? What is she saying? I know what I'm saying, but are they going to be as open and honest as me? Am I being too honest and they're going to be upset? I had a lot of those fears.
Yeah.
That was the first episode that Roy kind of started opening up to his sweetness that everybody knows he has, but he likes to hide. Mm-hmm. So that was a little annoying for me because that was the whole start of the downhill trajectory.
I'm going to be honest, rewatching any scene where it's like the four of us or just how John spoke to me still unnerves me. It shouldn't, but it does.
I was going to say that. So towards the end, we get to the four-person interview on the couch and John just looks constantly annoyed and his reaction I just felt like, okay, he's going to be nice because we're on national TV.
Well, and I feel like the whole point of this was you, me, and my ex, right? Like
we all get along.
I needed my sidekick, which was him in this particular dynamic. And I'm kind of lost in the sauce with my partner. I just felt like he trashed me a little bit every time he talked about me. And he does that ordinarily. But when you watch it on TV, it's a little like, yes, I deal with it on a daily basis. It is what it is. I've dealt with it for 14 years just because I know that that's how John is. But to watch it on TV, it stings a little.
Yeah, I bet it does. Because just, I mean, anytime anybody that you've once cared about to say.
Well, publicly.
Right.
There's so much that we keep private. And that's normal. Everybody should have a private part of their life. But for us in this instance, we're showing something very public, you know, about ourselves. And I just thought, man, now would be the time to just not talk to me like that.
Maybe now would be the time for him to rectify his past mistakes, right?
Yeah, you would think. Well, and it's, so when you're defending an ex, you already don't want to. Like, that's already the thing you don't want to have to do. But in a normal co-parenting situation, sometimes you have to. You know, you got to stick up for your good old baby daddy. National television. And for the rest of my life, now I have to defend John's face. I'm like, ugh, I already do this all the time.
And we have the whole business surrounded by positive co-parenting. Yeah. So maybe jump on effing board.
I'll say it. Jump on fucking board.
Right. Jump on board. Yeah. Come on. I know that I'm the odd one out, but I did have a good time. Not so good after it finished airing, but I had a good time just doing all that with us together. Not so much watching things that you had never heard before. Just like you said with John, watching things that Roy said that I'd never heard before. Hearing what other people, the criticisms that viewers had.
Did you have any cringe moments? Like where you watched yourself and you're just like, ooh.
I do, and I think this is silly. This is just this episode, okay? There's going to be plenty more that I'm going to cringe about, I know. But when I, like my intro where I said I'm a proud Marine wife. Oh. Well, I am, but it did come off as I sounded so fake. And it really was, that was true.
It did sound cringy.
I was so honest, and I felt like I was watching my innocence just be depleted. You know, does that make sense? It was like watching you lose your virginity. That's how I felt.
As a former military spouse, and I'm sure there's a bunch of us that can sit there and say as we watched, we were all like, here she goes.
But that was honest for me. And people, they don't like honesty. So maybe I should just be full of fake. And then.
No. You need to just be yourself.
Well,
I think by the
end
of the season,
when you forget the cameras are there.
Yeah, you started to relax because you could tell you were very tense. We were all very tense in those initial episodes and interviews and just like uncomfortable and articulating our words way more than they needed to be. But then it started to loosen up towards the end.
People will say like reality TV is fake. I don't agree with that. I don't think all reality TV is fake. But you got to understand. You're doing something and you're filming a scene. Maybe the camera doesn't get your initial reaction to that. They didn't get your face or audio didn't hear it clearly. So you have to repeat it or redo it. Mm-hmm. Then that's when it becomes, okay, this really was a true scene, but it almost seems fake.
Correct.
And that's what, like when Roy and I got the matching tattoos, some of that seemed fake because when you have to just redo it because the camera wasn't pointed the right way.
Actually,
the audio.
I'm not going to lie. That was one of my favorite scenes.
Oh,
because I thought
because
it was
you got
so...
the best meme of the whole year out of that. That was one of my favorite.
Yeah.
And you were raw and you.
I love that whole scene. Like the whole thing.
Tanner just interrupted our recording session to ask me. If I was texting a teenage guy.
I don't think he's a teenage guy. He
was
like
a young
man.
Guy.
Okay.
On a TikTok. And this is the second time he's asked me this. This guy posts these TikToks saying, I'm texting Tanner's mom. So the first time he asked me, they were texting about Twilight. And he was like, Mom, you love Twilight. I know it's you. I'm like, I am not texting this guy. I don't know who that is. It just happens to be that he's texting Tanner's mom. Now there's another TikTok this guy's. I'm going to reach out to this guy and be like, please tell everybody that you're not texting Tanner's mom, like Tanner Farner's mom, because look, I got enough men in my life.
Oh,
I do
God,
not need
no
another.
More.
Not need another. All right, so we'll finish up on our episodes of You, Me, and My Ex, and
we'll
keep going. Mm-hmm. I do want to point out that something that made me mad at the end was John saying that my relationship with Roy was becoming an issue. when it had never been an issue prior to.
Do you think he was forced to say that, or do you think he genuinely said that? I've always wondered.
I don't know. I would like to ask him that, actually, mm-hmm. because I don't know the answer to that. I've never had that conversation because he's always been very much on board with my relationship with Roy, unless he was just afraid to tell me. I don't know, but that's a good question, and I think I deserve an answer.
There you go.
So, okay, y'all, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you'd like us to discuss. And if you want to learn more about us and hear all of our stories from the beginning of this chaos, check out our website, pastchaos.com. If you want a more personal insight into the craziness that is our lives, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can also stream season one of You, Me, and My Ex on Discovery Plus. Shit show, mom of the week.
So would you consider yourself a Pinterest mom?
Absolutely not. Wish I was, but I'm not.
I have a love-hate for it. I wish I was. I try to be sometimes. I also don't have a lot of time on my hands, or arts and crafts just aren't my thing.
You do a good job, though.
I do okay.
I will say that. You do a good job about
doing
the Pinteresty stuff.
I try. I did make their Halloween costumes last year. Mm-hmm. They were bought this year.
It was something else that you did. Oh, one of the first things you and I did together was worked on a project. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And it was very Pinteresty.
Yes. And I like the leprechaun things I've always made for the boys. I really went all out with Jets last year. Every now and then I'll get a wild hair and I'll just like really get crafty and want to do them. Especially with Jet, because I feel like as the littlest, he gets the short end of the
Lauren.
Stick.
Yes. The and third I one always that. Gets left like forgotten.
Yes. Yeah. So he brought this little ornament home that he had to decorate. And of course, in this house, like everything else, I wait till the last minute to do it. And I say, okay, we'll just color it. And he colored it with some crayons. And I'm like, do I send my kid to school with just this colored,
pitiful
ornament. Ornament paste paper? No, I can't do that. But I don't have any crafts really anymore. I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff and I've downsized. So I was like, all right, we're going to have to get real creative. So I'm thinking and I'm like, okay, do we have any seashells? We live at the beach. Let's think of something like beach themed because that's kind of the colors he chose. So he goes down in the garage and he finds two of his favorite seashells. And I was like, all right, we can make this work. And so I, you know, in big marker, I come up with something creative. We were on Pinterest for probably 15 minutes and I was going through phrases and he was not okay with any of them. Merry Christmas and seashell kisses. And he was like, no. And so we went down the line and jingle shells is what we settled on.
So cute.
And then I was like, it needs a little sparkle. He wanted sparkle. He wanted glitter. Jet loves glitter. Well, I don't have glitter other than body spray that your mom got me. And I was this
close. You could have sprayed it on there.
I was going to, but then I was like, it'll get oily on the marker that I've already put on there. So I find this stray earring and it's a dangly earring. So I know it's not mine.
Oh, God.
And it's got like these little strands of silver, sparkly kind of. And I'm like, I could cut these off and just hang them and like glue them with my little tiny house glue onto the ornament. So I did that. So Heather, thank you for leaving an earring, a solo single earring, because it is in fact the tinsel on Jet's ornament with seashells. And it turned out decent, which of course the kid forgot it this morning. So I had to drive to the school and drop it off. This poor school, they just know that I am in fact the shit show mom.
But you get extra points because you went above and beyond.
Yeah.
Not only were you the Pinterest mom, but you were the, I'm not going to let you miss out on presenting this ornament. Here it is. You're taking it in today. And you only had to steal one earring to do it.
Only one. That's all I had was one.
At least you weren't stealing husbands, okay?
Yeah.
Just earrings.
Sorry, Heather. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.